On Friday night, I had a Chinese takeaway. And I don't do it very often, but in it was one of those fortune cookies. And I opened it up and it read, "People will come for miles to hear you speak." Now, you know, I thought that was quite funny, really. Anyway, I actually think people are going for miles not to hear me speak, actually, because for those of you who are visiting, well over half the church have gone off to New Wine, which is a special Christian conference, which is a great place to be. But we are the faithful few who stay behind and keep it going. So God is so grateful that you're here today. So thank you for being here. I had a friend who came to stay with me. It was going to be for a week, but it ended up to be 5 weeks in the last few weeks of this last month. She came from Sydney. We were at school together when we were both 11, and we've seen each other on and off. But, you know, I suddenly realised how very single I was, because I'm used to having my house to myself and my own space. And suddenly there was somebody else there. And it was really, all these, the people at the 11 o'clock, 9.30 were nodding, all the single ladies. Suddenly there were people in your space. But it was lovely to see her. She's just said in passing, I'll deadhead your roses for you, Penny. And I thought, well, that was a nice thing to do. So I went off to church house. And when I came back, I found all these sort of great lumps of rose. And what she'd done is not deadheaded, but pruned them. Which, of course, as we all know, this is not the time of year in England that you prune roses. So whether I'll have any next year is another matter. But this was just very interesting little sort of join up to what we're talking about today. Because, of course, we have two examples in our two passages on how we journey in faith and what it means to journey in faith. In John 15, it talks of that lovely image of Jesus being the true vine, and God, the Father, being the gardener. The gardener, God, will cut off the branches on the tree, the vine, of which Jesus is the centre, if they don't bear fruit. And by pruning and cutting them at the right time, then they will change and grow and develop themselves. It's a lovely image of us being part of the whole. We are attached to God, to Jesus, who is the vine, and he wants us to bear rich and good fruit. I also like that idea of being grafted, because you can be grafted to a vine as well. Now, I think for anyone who's gone through some tough things in their lives and maybe feel like God has pruned them and cut them off from the vine, or they themselves maybe have even extricated themselves from their relationship with God, it's possible to come back and be grafted to the vine. So I think that's a really important picture to bear in mind, as well as pruning in a gentle way to make us grow and develop. So, question is, first of all, what fruit should we bear? Well, of course, in the Bible, we have a very clear picture of that when we hear that the fruit of God's Spirit at work in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. And I don't know about you, I find some of those very challenging. Anybody else do that? Yeah? Yes. We won't ask you now which ones you find challenging, but I think there's a few there. So that's one thing we have to do. We have to show the fruit outworked in our lives. But also, it's outworked in our practical actions as well, the acts of kindness and things that we do for other people. Speak of Jesus. And that's what we need to do, isn't it? We need to be an outworking of Jesus in our lives through our actions. We're commanded in Matthew 28 to make disciples, bring people to faith. We need to share the gospel. I went on a trip to Sussex with some friends and went down to a winery called Denby's, where you could pick the grapes and you could actually drink some of the results as well, which was very pleasant. And they talked there about cutting off the branches. Bye. Cutting off the branches and making the vine itself stronger. It was a lovely visual image, and I would recommend visual images. So maybe you need to all go out and buy yourself a vine. Mine that I bought is now a metre high, but there is no fruit in sight. But it's a great image of what our lives should be like as we grow on the vine. The second passage, of course, today helped us to consider how we stay on that vine, how we're grafted to the vine, how we should live our lives. And there should be, there we are, look at that. Oh, thank you. We see that often on a journey of faith, we're told that it will require perseverance and fortitude, many qualities that suggest that the journey or the race that we're going to run of faith may not always be easy, and there will be hard times. I think we've had some great images, haven't we, about races, thinking of the Olympics and Mo Farah running that huge distance and Usain Bolt, both in the Olympics and again, showing us how to run the race. But I was really challenged yesterday about when I saw Jo Pebble. She was running a race and she was 40 years old. So up the older woman, I say. She's got two small children, yet there she was in the Commonwealth Games. And she started off, and she was out front, and she ran and ran and ran and ran. Then three Nigerian girls overtook her, and she was fourth, and she ran and ran. And everybody was saying, come on, keep going, you can do it. And she overtook again and was in the front, and then the Nigerians overtook again. And right at the last minute, she put this huge belt on, and she came third. I thought that was great. And it was a great picture, really, of perseverance and fortitude, because she could have thought, oh, and given up. But she was determined. And I think that is what God asks us to do in our lives, to be determined to run this race. And although there will be things that will trip us up, he encourages us to keep going. And what we have to do to keep going is to focus on Jesus. And I think we'll find this picture, that lovely one of Rio de Janeiro, it's huge. When I was there some time back, it's enormous, this statue of Jesus. You can't miss it. And everywhere you look around Rio de Janeiro, you can see the statue. It's a bit like the cathedral tower in Salisbury. It's a lovely picture. There's a lovely story about a young farmer who was trying to plough a furrow with his tractor, but his furrows were all wobbly and he couldn't get it right. So he went to the pub that night and he went in and he said to the old farmer, I just can't get my furrows to go right. And the old farmer said, what you got to do is you got to find something on the horizon and you've got to plough towards it. Okay, they thought, right, okay. So off he went the next day and he did some furrowing, but it was useless. His furrows were all wobbly again. And he thought, what am I doing wrong? So he went back to the pub again and he said to the old gentleman, I tried to do what you said. I fixed my eye on the horizon, but my furrows were still wobbly. And he said, the old gent said, so what do you fix on? And he said, a cow. Bit of a sort of a good picture, really, that it's really important on the journey of faith what we fix our eyes on, isn't it? Because we can fix our eyes on the wrong things. And probably in that instant, the cow was one of those. But we need to have Jesus to fix our eyes on as we journey. And if we try and start doing things on our own strength, it all goes pear-shaped, doesn't it? When we start doing things without both the prompting of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, we just go round and round in circles. And I couldn't help but think that there are five things, really, that Jesus teaches us from his life. The first one is that he is a perfect example of compassion, love, and care. And he really models how we should live our lives. And Street Pastors is a very good example of that. And there are other things like the Trussell Trust and Elabore and Morning Star and other groups and organisations that show love and compassion and care to people who don't know much love or care or any compassion. So that's a really important element to following Jesus. The second one is that Jesus leads and shows us the way to go. He guides us and directs us, and that's really important when we can get sidetracked by other things. And we need to have good leaders in our churches, don't we, that will prompt us. And I was very interested to see, just happened as I came in today, this is a St. Lawrence Church magazine, and who should be on the front but the Bishop of Salisbury? So he obviously has a spiritual direction for the whole diocese. And next to him is a slightly older gentleman called Paul Taylor, and next to him a younger looking chap called Tom Coopy. And this, of course, was at Tom's ordination. And these are leaders in our church who we pray for, or should be praying for all the time, that God would guide and direct them and give them insights into what he wants them and us to do. Because, of course, the qualities we look for in a leader is a strength of personality, dependability, good discernment skills, and, of course, a strong Christian faith. And, of course, as we look again at Jesus, we find that Jesus ran the greatest race of all. He ran that race against sin, the devil, and ultimately death. And, of course, he overcame them all. And his promise to us as we fix our eye on him is that he has a place for us in heaven, that for us there's a seat waiting for us. And it's a great encouragement because there's nothing that we experience that Jesus hasn't experienced and has overcome. So when we have times of trial or difficulty or even maybe wobbles in our faith, we know that Jesus understands. And as we turn to him in prayer, then he is with us. I received a really unhelpful letter in the last 2 days, and you know, you have two reactions really. I wanted to bop the person on the nose first of all, actually, and then I wanted to say, "But that's not true, and I didn't, and you, and how could?" Because actually, they had obviously misconstrued, and in this case, it was me had done something really that they thought was hugely inappropriate. I didn't realise. And so I guess there's a challenge there for each of us about how we face issues when they are difficult. And I didn't write that email, but I had to pray a lot about it first, I tell you. Fourth thing is, as we look at Jesus, we see a leadership style that's very different from that of the world. We don't see Jesus asking us for a gain-dominated leadership or even a power-driven leadership, because, of course, Jesus represents the suffering servant. So as we journey with him, he's asking us to have that sort of model of life and witness, not one of power or gain, but as a suffering servant. And finally, the passage really reminds us of the joy there is in being a Christian. There are no situations where we can't find joy. Not necessarily always the, you know, yabby-dabby, fantastic hallelujah, you know, everything's wonderful joy, but that deep joy that comes inside us from a knowledge that we are so precious to God. It says in God's word that he has our name on the palm of his hand. Now, isn't that fantastic? So that we are on the palm of God's hand, we're so precious to him. And that's a lovely picture. So, I'm doing lots of baptisms and weddings at Old Sarum at the moment. And of course, in our baptism service, we place children on the journey of faith. And we ask godparents and parents to journey with them. So there are many images in our church life and witness when we talk about going on a journey. And they're for some people who feel that they're quite near the end of their journey. But praise God that for every Christian, there is a knowledge, if we have a relationship with Jesus, that there is a place waiting for us in heaven. So, in conclusion, I might ask, are we grafted well to the vine? Is there anything that perhaps God needs to get his pruning secateurs out to prune us a little? Are there things we need to take to him in prayer to encourage us? And we need to look at the fruit of God's Spirit and just question, how well are we doing? Not in a sort of beat yourself way, but in a, how am I doing? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness and self-control. We're on a journey. We're running a race. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus and focus on him. I've got a Buddhist electrician, as one does, and we often, you talk to your workman, don't you? And he was talking about Buddhism, and he said becoming a Buddhist had changed his life completely. It had saved his marriage, had given him a real sense of peace and restfulness. And that was a real challenge to me. Is that the same in my faith? Does my relationship with Jesus make it a life-changing thing? Because Buddhism was for him. And how much more we have to offer, because we know who we're praying to. We know who we're quiet with. We know who we can trust. So I pray that you are outworking your faith in a way that is a blessing to God, and a blessing to those around you. In Jesus' name, amen.